NZ On Air is promising to those who rely on it for funding that it will be responsive and innovative over the weeks and months to come, with COVID-19 seeing planned productions around the country shutting down indefinitely. Cameron Harland is the funding body's new CEO. He took up the job on Tuesday and says it's thinking hard about how it can do things differently through these tough times. Cameron's on the line. Kia ora.
Kia ora. And how are you?
I'm well. Timing is everything. Cameron, you took up the job on Tuesday. Goodness me, what a challenge.
Thank you for that. Actually, you're not the first person to have said that, actually. I guess the starting point for me is I have an incredible group of people working at New Zealand On Air who know their jobs incredibly well. So the good news is that I've kind of joined an organisation that's very, very well structured and set up, full of passionate people that care deeply about, the industry that we support. And I guess, look, the silver lining in a way for me is, I mean, this is utterly extraordinary, of course. I mean, it's unprecedented what we're all dealing with. But I guess for me, it's meant that I've been able to incredibly quickly and fast forward my kind of understanding of what's going on in the industry, because actually that's the job. So I've been on the phone to as many people as I can just to understand, what's going on, how we can help, really.
And what is your sense of the impact of COVID-19 on these projects? As I mentioned earlier, you know, there's television, there's web series, there's podcasts, there's radio. There's a lot under the NZ On Air umbrella. Where are things at?
Thanks. Yeah, there is a lot. And I guess in some ways, perhaps the easiest way for me to sort of describe it is that there's sort of three blocks of stuff, if you like. So the first one is platforms. So we fund a bunch of really, really important radio stations, Student Radio Access. Those guys have had a level of uncertainty about whether they were going to be considered essential, and obviously they are. For us, that's just been about making sure they're set up to be able to continue to broadcast. Obviously, they're doing really, really important work. If you think about our inability to physically connect as communities, if English is a second language, or if you don't speak English at all, then some of the services that these radio stations provide is really genuinely your link to the outside. So they're in pretty good shape. We actually turned around an initiative literally last week to help them create content sort of from home through a software package. So we sort of jumped on an initiative there immediately. The other side to the platforms piece is really the big media platforms. And I can tell you, and to be honest, I'm sure you already know this, they really, really are hurting. The big guys, TVNZ, MediaWorks, Stuff, NZME, and some of the other ones like the spin-off, ironically, audiences are through the roof. So, local is massive right now. So what we have is audiences engaging pretty significantly with all of them. But unfortunately, the way they make their money is predominantly through advertising, which, of course, has gone through the floor. So that's incredibly concerning. Then on the other side of it, we've got music. We fund contemporary music and music artists. Obviously, their living really is predominantly through gigs. So that's been gone for the better part of 2 or 3 weeks. So they really are hurting. Again, we're looking at trying to come up with some sort of innovative ways to perhaps find a bit more money to fund more content. I think a number of these artists can work from home, whether they kind of write, create, even record. So that's another important part of what we do. And then, of course, the stuff that you were just talking about before, the production side of things. That's pretty tough, as you might imagine. I mean, there's a number of very big productions that effectively just halted immediately. They have staff, they've got overheads, and obviously the uncertainty of how long they will be down for. I don't think we're any different to many other industries. We're doing it tough.
Well, that's one of the complicating factors here, Cameron, isn't it? It's not like you can just go to a production that's been shut down and say, look, we'll take the remaining funding off you and we'll put it somewhere else and we'll sort you out later on, because, as you say, there are overheads ongoing. And we've had all these cancelled music gigs around the country, etc. So your situation is really complex. Creative New Zealand was able, I think, to divert a lot of its grant funding for the next round to help out immediately. Is this the sort of thing that you're looking at?
Yeah, I was really, to be honest, we were really impressed with Creative New Zealand and how quickly they came out. But of course, they predominantly fund live acts, and I think they were hit earlier than some of the productions we're dealing with. Look, we're absolutely looking at doing the same thing. What we're hearing from the industry is quite interesting. So on the one side, what we are hearing is please continue to run things as you kind of normally do. Please kind of almost keep calm and carry on, because we want to know that there is money available for us to create new content when we come out of this. Okay? On the other side, though, you've got productions that clearly are saying, hey, there is going to need to be a level of make good here. You know, who can help? And obviously we're one of the options for them. And then I guess we're also thinking about, are there innovative ways that people can be creating content from their homes? And can we set aside some funds to help with that as well? So it is a bit tricky, but certainly we are. I guess that the message we have been putting out to the industry is we are absolutely here to listen. We want to try and help as best we can. We need to try and work out how we balance that. And so far, I think, you know, we've had some really, really good, fruitful conversations with the industry.
And you're going to get some. I mean, you're coming at this as being innovative. My goodness, what the arts community and entertainment communities are coming up with is quite remarkable, be it art exhibitions now online or virtual concerts or, you know, there's so much. I think there are virtual book launches as well going on. It's all over the place. It's a bit like after the earthquakes in Christchurch, I think. The arts community has such an important role to play. And at the moment, we are a nation and a world under stress. So it's finding ways, isn't it, through organisations like yours, to continue to be that lifeline.
I think that's right, and I think organisations like ours absolutely have to be open to whatever ideas these brilliant creative people can come up with and try and work out ways to make it work. So look, I think that's definitely our message, is we are open to ideas. I spoke with Stephen Wainwright from Creative New Zealand sort of earlier in the week, and obviously he was sort of saying, look, maybe there's an opportunity here, because a lot of the arts that he funds are obviously very used to doing things live. Can we bring that together with, say, Radio New Zealand, which obviously is an incredibly important kind of channel for us? Can we start to create ways of broadcasting amazing music out? Now, I mean, that was a conversation we had, I think, before the lockdown. It obviously gets a little bit harder when everyone's stuck at home. But you're absolutely right. We have a sector full of people that will come up with brilliant and creative ideas. The other side of this, I think, that's worth sort of pausing on as well, is it does strike me that we have acted quickly and decisively. And if you look at other markets around the world who perhaps haven't, we have a good chance of coming out of this thing perhaps a little bit further ahead than others. And I think that brings with it an opportunity for not only creating brilliant local content, but potentially that content also being available to other markets that are so hungry for it.
But you have also that issue, and we have no idea how long this will go for, of a bottleneck. So if this is more months than weeks before productions, because that's, of course, very intensive work and people working closely together, and you've got to wind it up again, you know, it's not going to suddenly happen. You've got to get people back together and the funding in place. So this might be a lean year, but next year, well, you know, you've got to make sure that you're going to have enough producers and camera people and crew and actors.
I think that's right. I think, look, the obvious concern is we need to make sure that we've got good quality people that can come out and apply their skills. I think we're also going to have a huge amount of ideas, because people are going to be sitting in their sort of studies now coming up with amazing and brilliant kind of content ideas. So you're right. I think we'll have a bit of an issue in terms of production over the next little while, but coming down the pipe is going to be a huge amount of potential ideas. Interestingly, I did have a good conversation with one of the Goulds earlier in the week as well, and sort of had a conversation with them about thinking very serious about getting health and safety protocols well and truly sorted out, so that when we do come out of alert level 4, and in all likelihood it'll probably go back down to a 3 or a 2, Are we able to start thinking about getting productions up and running even at alert level two? What does that look like? How can we fast track the opportunity to get out there? And of course, you know, the production community can move quickly. Obviously, I think the government's already sort of saying, how do we get the economy back up and running fast? Well, certainly, this is definitely an economy that can move very, very quickly.
Cameron, we've just got a minute or so to go, but one of the questions you've been asking the industry is if the practitioners have access to the government support package, and if not, why not? What's your sense of access to that package for our arts and entertainment community?
I think for the most part, the government's done a fantastic job. So I think most of our community are able to access it. I think there are a couple of little areas of concern. I think a lot of our kind of crew out there are rental rather than homeowners. So what does that side mean for them? But for the most part, I have to say, I think the rescue package has been pretty well thought out, and of course it's been extended and expanded in recent days. I mean, the issue for us really, obviously, is we really just want to get people back and working as quickly as we can, obviously accepting that the first priority right now is everyone's health and safety. But, I think the key thing really is how do we come out of this thing and safely move forward.
Cameron Harland, what a first week on the job. Thank you very much for talking to us today. That's NZ On Air's new CEO.